Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We've been working on a series, and I entitled it Discipleship 101, and basically I've been talking about the fundamentals of discipleship, or actually how we come into the kingdom of God and how we become disciples of Jesus. And today we're going to go into John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. I know God is going to say something to you today because he said something to me. So I don't think we're that much different. Okay, here we're going to read this particular thing, and we're going to read responsively, and we'll get into the Word of God. Well, after there was a feast of the Jews, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. He answered then them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Verse 15 together. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, today I hope that we're going to learn some things. Matter of fact, I believe we will, because I've learned some things in this study, even having known this story many, many times. But today, Lord, I want us to wrap our hearts around something totally different. Nothing that the Word of God has changed, but Lord, our perspective of what you, when you ask us questions, when you already know the answer. God, there's something in us that has to be ignited. There's something in us that has to change to the place where we're not only saying the right words, but we're really feeling the right feeling at this point that something's going to be different when we walk out these doors. God, I pray that the spirit of anticipation, expectation would be here today, that, Lord, there's a healing that needs to take place more than in our bodies, but, Lord, in our minds and in our spirits. And Holy Spirit, we free you to be the director of all things because we believe in you and we trust in you. We thank you for all these things. We pray in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. You know, it's interesting. If you look through the Bible, and I think I've got it right, and you can test me on this, and I won't feel bad if I missed it. But there are at least 134 questions that Jesus asked people. And this is probably one of those that you're saying, what is up with this? Do you want to get well? And of course, Jesus knowing all things, the man's been there for 38 years. Huh? But then again, is that such a surprise? Because when you think about it, remember at the very beginning, at the inception of mankind, God says something to Adam. You know, Adam, where are you? He asked him a question, where are you? As if he didn't know. God knows everything. I pray that in about 45 minutes from now, there's some things that will happen in you that you've been wanting to happen all of your life. Now, that's a big deal. That you won't just hear this message. It's another message that perhaps Pastor Richard is going to share with us, and hopefully that we'll get something out of it. But I hope that you'll be able to discover some things about yourself. I got a question for you, and nobody answer it out loud. But think about it. Why did you come to church today? Well, it's Sunday. Well, I got to usher. Somebody's got to be with the kids, you know. But I think sometimes the question is not, why did we come here to church, but is what is inciting in us is, what do you expect to change by you being here? Or do you just come because it's Sunday and hopefully something good will happen, I'll have something that will take me through the week. But you know, there's something that God wants you to answer and wants us to answer is, why did we come today? Is there an anticipation that you'll be different when you walk out of those doors 45 minutes from now, or are you just kind of hoping, well, it's going to be another day by the pool? Oh, come on. Don't even look at me that strange. Because some of you walk through those doors without any expectation at all. Now, all you that know what I'm talking about, say amen. Amen. Just another day that the Lord has kept me. We're among the pitiful. We are no different than the man who had been there for 38 long years, with a lot of excuses as to why he was still in the same condition that he had been for the last 38 years. Oh, it's going to get rough today. Somebody, poke your neighbor, say, I should have stayed home. Because we're going to dig into this thing. But I think one of the things about the body of Christ is it's, we can get used to, and I've said this a number of different times. I don't know when I started saying it, but I'm not ready to give it up quite yet. You can get used to anything. You know what I'm talking about? Remember the story I told about the lady who used a piece of wood to hold her oven door closed? Yes, she did. That woman could have bought 5 different stoves, but she had a piece of wood that she used to prop her oven door closed with because the spring broke. Yes, she did. And don't you throw that piece of wood away. She'll kill you. Leave my piece of wood alone, because that closes the oven door. I want to tell you, you can get used to anything and that becomes your normal. I'm here to shake you up, turn you around from this non-expecting things to happen, and allow the Holy Spirit to transform you from your complacent attitude to being on fire for God to make a difference in this world. Come on. I haven't even read my questions yet. I'm getting fired up. Okay. Well, let me get back in. Here we go. Number one, what in your life needs to change in order for you to be who God has chosen you to be? Don't answer it out loud. I want you to stop and think about that. What needs to change today in order for me to be who God has called me to be? And if you have something in mind, I dare you to walk out of this door in the same condition that you were when you walked in if you're not serious with God. Well, yeah, I know I need to change, but I'm not ready. Really? So it's on your time frame. Let me go to the next one. Marinate on the first one, okay? Number two, are you willing to abandon the excuses and forgive people who have hindered you from realizing your spiritual destiny? Here, I want to tell you something, because in this man's response, I'll get a little off page here. Jesus says, do you want to get well? You know, he did not answer the question. He offered an excuse. You know, every time I get ready to get in the pool, somebody beats me there. Your life is filled with excuses as to why you are so pitiful. Now, if I could only lose these 15 pounds, I'd be a much better person. I'm gonna get rough today, so get ready. Or if I could only do such and such, you know, and if people would just, you know, kind of do that, I would be a whole lot better. Will you stop making excuses and deal with the issue? Do you want to get well? Do you want to be different? Do you want Jesus to have complete control of your life? If you do, stay tuned. I got something for you. Number three, what do you want to be different when you walk out of these doors today? You get to decide. I want you to take just 15 seconds and think about what you want to be different. And you and I'm going to pray over that. And I guarantee you, if you're serious, something going to change. If we set our, if we don't set any boundaries or direction of things, you'll continue to be the same person. Does that amaze you? Oh, well, it shouldn't. Well, let's get to the scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, on the porch of grace in the house of mercy. Now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. My question to you is, what power is working in you right now? Is it the power of doubt, fear, and unbelief, or is it the power of the Holy Spirit that can overcome doubt, fear, and unbelief? Which power are you working under? Are you working under the power of your past that has told you that you have not been successful up to this point and your pattern of non-success will continue to go on? Or are you going to go with the scripture that says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think? So what you thought a few moments ago, he's able to do more than what you thought about. Stop limiting God to your small thinking and start moving toward his great promises. Wow. I'm not offering you anything new. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Because what you ask, you think, according to the power that works in us. Now, here's the part. What power is working you right now, in you right now? For every believer in this house, the power of the Holy Spirit is activated in you. What you need to do is to submit in humble obedience to whatever he tells you to do, do it. Well, we'll see how that works as time goes on. Well, Jesus will meet us at the pool of our despair and misery. And Jesus met this man at a place where the sheep were washed in preparation for the sacrifice. And it's interesting, it says a place of five porches. You know what five porches kind of represents, the number five represents in the Bible? Grace. Anybody been a recipient of God's grace? The rest of you are crazy. Or you're demented, or you're delusional. Oh no, I've just been on my own all my life. Everything I've got on my own. You are crazy, you need help. See someone quickly. You're dangerous. Because everything that has happened is by God's grace. By grace are you saved through faith, not of works that any man should boast. Only the way, reason you say, well, I accept the Lord. No, he accepted you, baby. I let him in my life. No, honey, your life was miserable, and he decided he'd come in to help you. Don't make it about you. It's all about him. And by his grace, did you hear the word of God, and you were able to repent? Some people right now are struggling with the idea, well, should I repent or should I not? Let me see. Let me explore more options, and I'll get back to you on that. Oh, yeah. Bethesda was a place of sickness and misery. And God does not ask us questions because he lacks information. I believe one of the questions that he's asked me is, do you want to get better? You say, do I want to get better? I didn't realize you were ill. No, do you want to be better today than you were yesterday? Now I can play, like, you know, I'm getting old now, you know, I kind of wind down, and people shouldn't expect as much from me now. Really? How about from glory to glory, he's changing you? How about this fact that he's doing exceedingly abundantly beyond what you could ask or think? Well, give those consideration. But the question he asked Adam where he was, and he was giving him an opportunity to confess what he had done to make himself want to hide. Back to the garden, because that's really where the beginning of all things happens. God had given Adam and Eve an incredible opportunity, and I'm not here to just kind of bash them as far as that's concerned. I imagine probably we would have done the same thing. Maybe, maybe not, I don't know. But the question he asked him is so intriguing. Adam, where are you? Would you stop for a moment, and if I can ask that question to you, just sitting in this auditorium, whatever your name is, where are you? He said, well, I'm here in the building. No, but where are you in relationship between you and Jesus? If you say, I'm close to him, that's good. But you know something? You're as close to Jesus as you want to be right now. He feels like he's so far away. Guess who moved? He didn't. Well, I just feel so far away from the Lord. God has not moved. Let me draw this in a little bit closer to the issues that we're facing right now. When God asks us things, it's an opportunity for us to look into our hearts and to assess where we really are in relationship with him or what we believe about him. And thirdly, healing brings with it a price that we must be willing to factor into our response. Let me kind of open this box, call it Pandora's, call it whatever you want. I believe that that was a powerful question that Jesus asked this lame man, because remember, he's been there for 38 years. If he gets healed, he will have to forfeit all the pity that people have given him all his life. Some of you enjoy being pitiful. Well, now that was harsh, Pastor. Why did you say that? Because it's true. Oh, people know that I'm just kind of irresponsible. They know I'm always late. They know I'm always this way. And you rally or you revel in the fact that you are just, you're pitiful. You know, it's like Jesus would say to you people that are chronically late, Marilyn, are you ready to be on time? No. I've always been late in my life. I can't change that. There's some things in your life, I'm going to be real frank with you, you don't want to change. You don't want to get well. You like being pitiful. You like being strange. Oh, this is just a part of our, all of us, we're just angry people. We just have bad tempers. Really? And you really in the fact of being just out of sorts? Jesus says, do you want to get well? Because it's to your advantage that you get well, but along with being well comes responsibility. You cannot be acting crazy like you did before. You can't be expecting people to deliver you to this place so you can sit around and sunbathe all day long, waiting for somebody to jump. But his one, well, you know, I would be better if somebody would just help me get in the pool. I don't know, but I've got my own ideas. I was thinking, my thinking would be, this guy was pretty much a lifer at the pool. And you know what? Some of you are too, unless you hear this message in a whole different realm. Well, there's much to be considered when we have suffered with a situation for a long time. This is what this means. It does not state specifically the man had been there for 38 years. It really doesn't, but he says he had the illness for 38 years. Secondly, he had been there for a long enough time to develop a lifestyle of a victim's mentality. I'm a victim, victim, I am a victim. Really? And I'll tell you why I say that. Because the first words out of his mouth is, nobody will help me. So I'll always be this way. Just work with that for just a moment or two. He had become accustomed to living on the edge of the miraculous without realizing fulfillment. Here's the thing that I want to tell you. Here's the hopeful part to it, so get excited about this. He's just one step away from being totally, completely healed and delivered according to what he's seen happen to other people. So some of you are living in, and I'm living in the same place. We're living in a kind of a process of expectation that if I go just a little bit closer, maybe next time it's going to happen. And maybe that's the drive that keeps you going. I really can't say for sure, but Jesus is saying something to him. He says, I want to find out what's really in your heart. What is your expectation? What's going to be different about you? So he's when Jesus asked him the question, it was more than an offering for physical healing. Listen to this. Do you want to leave your dependency behind? Do you want to abandon your excuses for your life being lived the way it has been? Are you ready to take full responsibility for your life and nobody has to help you like they bring you to the pool every day? like they somehow solicit other people to give you money so you can exist. Are you really ready to make it with me being your sole provider? Wow. That's a tough one. Consider this. Healing, his healing would affect more than just his physical body being restored. Emotionally, he would have to undergo a major rehab. Because the next morning after he wakes up after this miraculous healing, there'll be nobody to pick him up to take him to the pool. He's going to have to go get a J-O-B. Hello! That's the reason why Jesus asked, do you really want to get well? Are you ready to enter the workforce? Are you ready to abandon all the excuses for no one's ever taken care of me? And then, if you've been this way for 38 years, your job skill level is at its all-time level, all-time low level. Woo, boy, you really have to trust Jesus then. Who wants to marry who wants to hire somebody 38 years and hey, ain't done nothing? Woo, wouldn't be on my list. Are you ready to give up your handicap sticker off your window? See, I got to put it in plain English so you folks understand. Well, I know the Lord healed me, but just in case he hasn't. And I don't like really walking for parking spots, so I'm going to leave it in there for a while so I can get used to being healed. Come on, work with me. You know what I'm talking about. You want to do it in increments. Well, I'll practice walking. And one day I'll take it off of my rear view mirror and I'll hand it over. But it's still got about 4 more months on it. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you are riding the train to the end of the line. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to get rough. It's going to get rough. Did he really want to leave loneliness and pity behind him and cleave to joy and responsibility? I'm going to leave that one alone. Jesus asked us to respond to the reality of what he has to offer. You know, this is kind of an amusing thing. I think a lot of kids do this. Anybody here got kids? Just wave your hand. I don't care if they're old or young. Kids, okay. Johnny, Sarah, did you clean up your room? Yeah, Daddy. It's done all except for... It ain't done. All except for is something we insert into the sentence to make us feel better about the fact it ain't done. When you say all except for, I want to say something in your face. It ain't done yet. Well, I'm really trusting God. All except for. My question is, do you want to get well? Do you want to leave the excuses behind you? Do you want to walk in a way that you've never walked before with the power of God going before you, opening doors you thought were closed, that you thought would never open? Do you want to get well? Well, in other words, he's not looking for our excuses. He's not interested in our complaints about others who have pushed us out of their way. Because some of you sitting in this room right now are bitter. Pastor, we're Christians. You're bitter. And if I were to ask you, there's probably some little seed of bitterness that happened years ago that you are still holding on to, or someone that did you wrong. Cut in line ahead of you. I don't know what. But Jesus is saying to him, that healing is going to take place when you let go of all the other stuff. So Jesus was aware that he had been that way for a long time. He was asking whether he really wanted to walk the way of freedom. Take up your bed and walk. John 5:8. I want to read that again. It says, and Jesus says to him, Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Three things. Now, how do you say that to a person who hasn't done that before? Just like Jesus said, rise, take your bed, walk. You know what our problem is? My problem is? I want time. Could I get back to you on that? Oh, I heard what you said. But I need to process that because this rising, I've never done that before. And this idea of rising up, that's scary. That's frightening for me. I just kind of wobble and fall. You know something? You've got to believe that if God or Jesus told you to do it, that he's already made provision. He didn't say rise and fall down. If he says rise, you're not standing upon your promise. You're standing upon his promise. If he says rise, he will empower you to do what he told you to do. So that's step number one. Number two is take up your bed. And I want to call the bed your bed of excuses that you've been laying on for a long, long time. I want you to take those excuses. I want you to throw them on your shoulder and show people I'm not relying on excuses. I'm carrying my excuses out of here and I'm going a different direction. Let people see the fact that, yeah, I had all these excuses, but you know, this is what I used to rely upon, but now it's relying on me. I used to get empowered from it, but now it's getting power from me. It can't go anywhere unless I take it there. I'm taking all my excuses with me. I'm taking them out of here, lest somebody else lay down on them. Number three, walking. 38 years, infirmity, paralyzed. Walking was not an option. But according to the Word of God, and oftentimes the Word doesn't give us all the things that we probably would want to have. But I can think, I'm very, very standing on secure ground, that that's what happened. Because he has some interaction with some folks in a few moments that will prove the fact that that's exactly what occurred. Here's another part that you need to understand. Maybe you didn't see this, but let me point it out to you. Jesus did not pray for him. Sometimes it's not prayer that you need, it's obedience. You need to obey what he told you to do. I know people come to prayer like, oh, just pray that I'll be obedient to God. I ain't gonna pray for you. You already know what you're supposed to do. Oh, just pray that I'll be a better Christian. I'm thinking, you know what to do. Why do you want me to pray for something that you know what you're supposed to do? You know what's making you not be a good Christian. You need to repent. You don't need my prayer. See, we got prayer and repentance mixed up. If you'd repent of this, then you'd have that. Yes. But the problem is we just, oh, I'm just going to, we cry 96 tears. Yeah, I threw you back way back there, didn't I? 96, some of y'all know I said 96 tears. My generation, be with me today, okay? You want to cry 96 tears of all this stuff. And all you're doing is watering the floor because, baby, you ain't nothing changed. Jesus did not pray for him. And I believe if you're going to accomplish what I said a few moments ago, you're going to have to respond to what the Lord has already spoken in your spirit, and there's your healing. And all the anointing oil, I could baptize you in anointing oil and nothing gonna change. All you have is a greasy forehead. And your core fear may fall off your head, but that's another story. Obedience is a key to our relationship with the Lord. Obedience will lead us to salvation. Now, the lame man was locked into his victim state of being. He said he was not willing to be grateful enough to testify of his healing, but rather he blamed Jesus for his non-observance of the law. I want to show you this guy he's more than just a person who has a malady, but his issues go a lot deeper. Because you think, oh, this is a great story. Jesus tells him to take up his bed and walk. Wow, hallelujah, you're ready to do a victory dance. Before you bring out the pom-poms, let me tell you what's going on with homie's life, okay? Homie got issues. Yes, he does. So, the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. You know what he's saying? He's passive aggressive. It's not my fault I'm carrying my bed. That man told me to do it. Woo! He's got problems. Some of us, after we get healed by Jesus, we are so ungrateful. We won't testify of God's goodness. Well, you know, if I'm doing something wrong, it's not my fault. He over there. He's the one that healed me. You forgot he done healed you. And you don't want to take the lick of the fact you're not supposed to be carrying your bed. If he was really, really grateful, he'd say, I don't care what you think about me carrying my bed because I wasn't able to get up. And Jesus came along and said, get up, take your bed and walk. And I'm not ashamed because I know who, I may not know his name, but I'll tell you what, he had the power to deliver me out of a place I couldn't get myself out of. Folks, you need to learn how to testify. You need to learn how to give God the glory. You undercover Christians, come out the closet. Why, everyone else is sick around here. How come you're not sick? Because Jesus is keeping me well. Everybody in the whole office cube has got the flu. How come you have the flu? Because my God is protecting me. Why don't you testify for God's goodness and stop being an undercover Christian? I don't know who he was, but somehow he told me to get up, and you know I didn't want to be rude. But see, that's how pitiful we are. I got a few more minutes, so hang with me. Come on. Well, he didn't even ask Jesus' name, but that's another story. Jesus had singled him out by divine choice. I want to say something to all of you, all of us. You are here by God's divine providence. He said, oh, I decided to go to church this morning. Maybe you have I guess you can say you can give yourself some credit for that. But God upped you one thing. He had something for you when you came. And this is it. What are you going to do with that? What's going to change your life in these last few remaining minutes? He gives him a threefold command. He's willing to listen to obey, so he did something right. But what about this? Jesus will bring healing to open the door to our salvation. John chapter 5, verse 14. This will help you. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Say, what does that mean? Is Jesus said to him that, you know, if you sin again, I'm going to put you back at the pool? I don't think so. I want you to take your focus for a moment off the whole healing process and focus it on the fact that Jesus did something, well, oftentimes we'll do miraculous things in people's life to let them know that there's more out there that you don't know about. But the real thing you need to do, he says, sin no more. Repent of the stuff that you've done. Your identity is no longer with those who are sitting by there waiting for blessing. God has done something miraculous in your life. Don't go back to that lifestyle of sinning or whatever things you have going on in your life. Let me just put it for you simply. The greatest miracle that we will experience is salvation of our soul. Somebody say amen. You know, you can go into heaven lame, crippled, doesn't matter, but your soul is what's going to live eternally. Healing for our body is the beginning of us taking note of the condition of our soul. And here's the next piece. Jesus has complete authority over everything that would hinder us from being devoted as a follower of Jesus. So the challenge of sin no more is an invitation to no longer live under the curse of sin and brokenness. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means to me. I can't say it for you. But on my best day, I still live in brokenness. So what? On my best day. He said, well, you're saved, filled with the Spirit, you've been pastoring all these different years. You should be about, no. I'm still a broken person. Only Jesus can make me well. And how I get to the place of healing is I'm obedient to what he tells me to do. That's my healing. It's a healing process that takes place every day of our lives. So, that being the case, repentance opens the door to freedom from our past. Don't raise your hand on this one, but anybody got anything in your past you'd like to get rid of? You got a wrap, or you got a wrap sheet you'd like to have expunged? Jesus is the only one who can do it. Repentance is our acknowledgement of the things that we have blamed on others that were our issues. Let me camp on that one just for a moment. Isn't it amazing that this issue that he has, the words that come out of his mouth, he says, you know, I would have been healed a long time ago if somebody would have helped me get in the pool. The reason why I've been here this long period of time, he says, nobody will help me. I want to help us, all of us, to stop blaming other people. If mommy had held me longer, I wouldn't be so self, if I wouldn't be so such a person that I am, so detached and so mean. Let me move forward. Repentance is a breaking away from our old identity of being helpless to spiritual wholeness that God has for all of us. This last little story, I can tell it real quickly. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Jesus has the power to heal and forgive. This is amazing. I'll read through this real quickly. So he got in the boat and he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic paralytic lying in a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Okay, move on. And once some of the scribes within themselves said, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say to you, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. Now that scripture could confuse you if you try to put in there the fact that I've got power to forgive your sins. That's not the point. But here's what it does say. When we operate in the authority of Jesus, we allow the Spirit to transform lives in his name. All power is given unto us in the name of Jesus. And so when I lay hands on you and say, in the name of Jesus, the authority of the name of Jesus is what heals you or sets you free, not me. I can do nothing for you, but the power of the name of Jesus is here to set you free today. Somebody say amen, because that's what's going to happen. Sin and condemnation work together to keep people keep in bondage to their past. Only Jesus can forgive sins, but we must confront sin with the power of the confession to receive forgiveness. Now, James 5:16, this is another scripture. Confess your trespass one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. Here's our problem. And I don't mean confess all, tell all type stuff. But some of us won't confess the stuff that people already know. I'm not going to confess I'm a liar, and we all know you're a liar. I'm not going to confess I'm a thief. That's too embarrassing. We know you're a thief. I'm not going to confess I'm sleeping. We know you're sleeping around, girl. Don't Hey, ain't no secret. But we sat behind this protective screen, we think, of privacy, and everybody know your business. But when we confess it, that means we can forsake it. Confession takes away the power of the devil who brings, and brings freedoms to disciples. Doubt, fear, and unbelief are empowered by those who will not confess their need of deliverance from the sins that have strongholds, the stronghold of guilt. And what about this? We must be willing to ask the Lord to change us into the person that he desires us to be. Here's a question for you right now. Are you the person right now that Jesus desires you to be? Only you can answer that question. I can't. If the answer is no, there's some work to be done before you walk out those doors. What? I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it when I'm by myself. You've been by yourself a long time, and it still hasn't happened. So pull that one off the table, okay? You'll be by yourself driving. When I get there by myself, I just Jesus and me in the car, we'll get it taken care of. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You'll be the same pitiful person that you were when you walked in these doors. Or you'll accept the message of Jesus who's saying something to you that today's the day, now's the hour for that to happen. We must ask in faith and receive the things we need to be devoted follower of Jesus. Here's my last scripture for you. It's in Mark chapter 10, verses 47 through 52. We must boldly declare what we desire from the Lord. I love this. Here we go. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Anybody need mercy today? The rest of you are delusional. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Some of us are too embarrassed to call on the Lord. Say, I don't want people to know how desperate I am. Then go ahead. Stay how you are and keep your dignity together. Be pitifully dignified. Okay, got that. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man and saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling for you. I want to speak this prophetically right now over several people here today. Jesus is calling for you today. It's not me. It's him. Let's go to the next verse because I'm just about done. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. That little verse on number 50, I said, well, why did he throw his garment aside? Well, as you knew the culture, they'd have several garments that they would wear. But that which would hinder him, he just pulled it aside and just threw that aside. He says, I don't care. I'm just coming to Jesus as plain as I can. And so Jesus answered, said to him, here comes again. What do you want me to do for you? Here's a question. What do you want him to do for you? Let that marinate with you for a while. What do you want him to do for you? And this is what he says. He says, the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Now note what Jesus does again. Then he said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Want to be Jesus' disciple? Tell him what you want. Tell him you want to be made well. He says, what do you want from me? He says, that I may receive my sight. God wants to open blinded eyes today. God wants to take you from a place of where you've hidden behind your weaknesses and illnesses and excuses. And he wants to make you well. I don't want anybody else moving around except for the worship team. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, because I really sense the power of the Holy Spirit here today to really deal with some very, very strong issues. It is so important today that you answer this question. What do you want him to do for you? For some of you, it's the fact of, it's more than the addiction. Can I help you with that? It's more than the lying and the cheating. It's more than the loneliness. What you need is Jesus. And if you allow him to take that place in your life that you've kind of reserved for selectively for various situations, I guarantee you something's going to change. Listen to me while I pray, and then you decide what you're going to do. Father, in Jesus' name, the name that's above every other name. Lord, you had me at the very beginning of this message challenge people that in about 45 minutes, they would get an opportunity to make some changes, to really ask you to do something for them that they were, maybe before this time they were afraid to ask. Lord, there's a lot on the table for folks. It's more than removing a handicap sticker from their windshield, Lord God. It's the fact that they're coming to a place of saying, you know, Jesus, you're the only person who can do this. In my heart today, and some of your hearts are pounding really fast because it's almost like if you leave your seat today and make this confession before the Lord, there's no turning back. May I submit to you this much? Would you rather stay in that place of complacency by the pool, just waiting for something other magical thing to happen? Or will you hear the voice of Jesus that says, come, receive your sight, and be made well? I want to wait for just a moment as you sit there for a moment. And I want to give some of you the power to say, you know what? I may have made mistakes in the past. I may have missed it before. I may have succumbed to other temptations. But I believe Jesus is able to forgive me for those things. And I believe he's able to not only make me well, but start me on a journey as he did with a blind man who, after he received his sight, he began to follow him. I want you to put your seniority of knowing Jesus on the table. And I want you to put it into place today of saying, you know, Pastor, there's something in me today that says I need to really come today and allow Jesus to change the way I think, to change my behavior, to change the lifestyle that I've created for myself that's hidden behind all kinds of excuses. Because Jesus is calling me today to make some changes, and I'm going to do it. If that's you, and God's talking to you like that, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Be bold, just stand up and say, yep, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. Doesn't matter. I'm gonna do it. Care what anybody thinks. Go ahead, stand up. Go ahead. Don't wait for your neighbor to stand up. If Jesus is talking to you, he's talking to other folks, but you know what? You'll be some of the first people that will make a difference in your life. I'm gonna wait just about another 30 seconds and then we're just gonna stand and sing. But I dare you to do that right now in the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Just another moment. There's one specific woman here today that is just enmeshed in some things, some bad choices that she made, and the devil's condemned you. I break that curse off of you right now. Stand up. Let Jesus completely cleanse your life. Let him turn your life around because he's the only one who can do it. Wherever you are, just stand up right now. Jesus is going to do that for you. Make your life totally free again. All right, those of you who stand, remain standing for a moment. In a moment, we're going to sing a song, and I'll ask you to come forward. We have some people that are ready to pray with you, and your lives will change, not because we said so, but Jesus has already preordained these things to happen. So those of you that are standing and those that will want to come along with them, I want everyone to stand. Those of you standing now, I want you to make your way down to this altar right now. Come right now in Jesus' name. Come right now in Jesus' name. Come in Jesus' name. Come right now in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.